Welcome to Nerd Dump Podcast. I'm Honey. I like games. So we're going to talk about games today. Not video games, but the ones you play at a table. With me is Cody.
I'm Cody. I'm here too.
And his little brother, Nick.
Hi, I'm Nick, I guess.
You guess? You don't know who you are?
Sometimes.
Don't be doing that, man. Don't be waking up in alleys.
Today we're going to be talking about board games, card games, and tabletop games. And this is going to be probably a floater episode. If it's not, I'll come back and edit this part out so it doesn't say that.
He just likes to edit me out.
Yeah. And so we're going to get started off with some of our favorite board games, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, talking about, at least games we like.
Games we like.
Games we like or favorites, whatever.
Right.
Games we don't hate.
Yeah, games that we don't dislike.
Right. And basically, the rules are it can't be a video game.
Yeah.
It can't be a LARPing type game where you actually run around in the yard and shoot lightning bolts at each other.
And it's probably not going to be an actual sport.
Yeah, no sports allowed.
If you want sports, you're not in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very
you
true.
You need
fact.
To go to sportdump.com. I don't know if
that sounds horrible.
You should check that out at some point. Anyway, board games. Who's starting?
You!
Okay. So board games are one of my favorite things, frankly.
Oh,
whenever I can get a group of people over, I play either a board game or a card game. Or this game on my TV.
Yeah, we're not talking about video games.
It's not really a video game, but it's also not what I was going to bring up. One of my favorite current board games, card game, whatever, to play is going to be simply Cards Against Humanity.
Which is an amazing game.
Yeah, so we have several of the expansion packs here at the Nerd Dump office. And we play quite often when we can.
We haven't played for a little while.
We've been getting a lot of new games recently.
That's true.
And trying those out. But we have the original, obviously. We have the bigger, blacker box. We have the 90s pack. We have the magic pack. We have the science pack.
You guys got the food one, too.
We got the food pack.
It's kind of lame.
What's the food pack?
I don't know.
Food-related stuff?
Food-related stuff. We've got,
That doesn't sound healthy.
I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4, and maybe even 5 and 6 of the expansions. I'm not 100% sure on
that. Yeah, we've got a lot of those.
I want to get the green pack.
Yeah, that one has awesome cards.
Yeah.
We've played that before. We've just not had them here.
For those of you who don't know what Cards Against Humanity is, it's kind of like apples to apples for adults. And
yay,
for those of you who
don't know what
those of you who don't know what apples to apples is, it's a game where one person is the picker or something. I don't know if they have an official title.
I don't know. They usually had a green card you put down, and then everybody else played their white cards
right on
it.
Yeah, you pick a card, you read it out loud to everybody. Everyone else picks a card from their hand, which has an answer to whatever the main card was, and then the picker person picks the card they think fits it best, in one whatever their definition of fits it best is, and they go from there. And that person wins the card. And in Cards Against Humanity, obviously, most of these jokes are dirty. They are normally genital-related or profanity-related in some way.
Or very, very racist.
Yes, offensive. Or very, very racist in some way.
And offensive, yeah.
So we're probably not going to talk a lot about what the cards individually say. I will bring up one of my favorite... what's
your
the
favorite
card,
though?
Batman?
No, it's... Bees
is also a really good card.
Bees with a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Isn't there a black card that's bees, and then you can play the white card bees?
Yep. One of my favorite combinations, though, is the one about, what is it? It's blank, that's metal, is the black card. And then the white card you play on it is magnets.
Magnets.
That's my favorite combination.
That's so metal.
Yeah, that's so metal is what it is. So that's probably one of my favorite games. What about you?
Got quite a few of them that I really like to play. But in all honesty, more recently, I guess so, the one that I like the most is Mansions of Madness. Now, it's not a video game, but you do use a tablet to play along with it, because each person chooses each person chooses one of the characters from either the core set or one of the expansions, depending on what all you have for it. And it tells a little bit about the character, gives their base stats and everything. But then, instead of having like a person that's like a game master or in control of the game, you punch in what all characters are being used, and then the iPad basically tells you how to set up the board game and tells you what happens in each phase. It's insanely fun to play, and the replayability out of it is phenomenal. You can play hundreds of times and never play the exact same scenario.
Right.
So, and there's lots and lots of ways to lose the game. But it's fun. It is a cooperative game for the most part. I mean, obviously, if you guys are like, well, I'm going to run off this way and do this instead, I don't care about you guys, then, you know, I mean, whatever. You have to actually play with teamwork. But
right.
Still, even then, it's just a great game to play. Because, like I said, you can play it all the time. You do have to have some sort of tablet to
right.
play it, just because it's storyline-driven like that. But it's very fun, and the sounds are pretty cool from the tablet as well. So, but it's a great game. Nick, what would you say is your favorite or a game that you like in general?
Town of Salem. I love Town of Salem.
Not the computer game.
Not the computer game.
The card.
Because that would be cheating.
Yes.
I like the card game, and I don't know how to explain it to people.
Is that like one of the, like, you know, werewolf or
yeah,
mafia?
It's like werewolf or mafia.
Any of those games where, like, you get dealt out random roles and nobody knows what you are except for
yep.
you and maybe some of the other people that are just like you.
Yeah. And it's a simple concept, even though, like, every time we play with new people, we have to explain it. And they're like, we don't get it. And then as soon as you play it, oh, it's easy. You kill people.
Yeah.
Because human nature.
Human nature. So, yeah, basically the game goes, there's a narrator,
right?
Mm-hmm. And he deals out, he or she... not assuming your gender, deals out the cards.
I'm assuming your gender.
There's always like a mafia type person, like a mafioso or a serial killer or mob boss, right?
The person that's doing the killing.
That person kills, and everyone else tries to figure out who that person is. That's a fun game. We've played
yeah.
it a few times.
Yeah. I've not played that version, but I've played Werewolf and I've played
yeah.
Mafia, and I understand the concept of the game. And I usually
yeah.
actually play the narrator.
Yeah,
I
like coming up with reasons.
I like it better than like
die.
Better than Werewolf and Mafia
yeah.
because of Jester.
Right, it
because
has a lot more rules.
It has a lot more rules.
You need to look through my Werewolf deck. There's probably like 20 or 30 different roles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Werewolf he plays, though, Cody plays, is just
yeah.
kind
of I have the
boring.
Base model
yeah.
of Werewolf. But you were talking about Jester card. The
Jester
card.
Because if you try to get lynched during the day by upsetting people, it's great.
See, I know there's a Jester card in the Werewolf set that I have, but I don't remember exactly what all it does, because you only use so many different roles
right,
depending
yeah.
on like what kind of game you want to play. So
yeah. And that game's a game that's better with more people.
Oh yeah, you want to have a lot of people.
I think normally the most we can get together to play is 7, but it'd be even better if we had more, obviously.
Yeah, because when I used to play Mafia all the time, we usually had, oh gosh, anywhere from 15 to 20 people
right.
playing
well,
it. And that was amazing.
Back when you were in prison, that's all you could, everybody, that's all anyone could do, right?
No. I've never been to prison.
Right. I'm sorry, jail.
The only time I ever went to a jail was when I was in the Boy Scouts. We went to go see the inside of a jail. One
Boy
time.
Scouts is a weird name for a gang.
Well, it's because it wasn't a gang. I'm not a
Why,
gang member.
If you look at the official definition of what a gang is, I think Boy Scouts might
a group
qualify.
Of, yeah, group
well.
People.
Yeah.
Very well organized, too.
I didn't know you were a Boy Scout.
Yeah, for years. From, like, first or second grade on to my freshman or sophomore year.
And then you got beaten out.
No, I just got tired of it. Because we didn't, the group I was, or the troop I was in, we didn't actually do very many outings.
Right.
Like I wanted to, so.
Okay, so you were basically a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a Boy Scout.
Not, yeah, I know. Not
no,
doing much.
Yeah.
Not doing much.
Yeah,
we're
they
weren't.
They didn't really do much, and that annoyed me. But.
Okay. Well, cool. Those are some fun games. I played Obviously, I played that one. I've never played the one Honey talked about, but I have seen it on YouTube. Yeah.
It's very similar to Betrayal at House on the Hill, which I know you have.
Yes, which is a lot of fun.
Which Betrayal at House on the Hill only has a handful of characters. Right. That's one of the.
And apparently, they have an expansion too, though.
Yeah, they do. But I don't. I think it might only add like one person, but it does add. Because in Betrayal at House on the Hill, it's really fun because the way you play it, you're going to end up with all sorts of different rooms for the layout, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And
because each time you move into a new room, you draw a room tile to put down, and it's a new room.
And the expansion adds attic tiles.
Yeah.
Or roof tiles sometimes in certain circumstances. But it's great. And the main difference between them is I have a friend who always describes it as Betrayal at House on the Hill is more Scooby-Doo-ish.
Right.
And Mansions of Madness is you pretty much take out Scooby-Doo and you add in Cthulhu.
Okay. Oh.
So,
we saw a lot of Cthulhu.
We've been seeing a lot of Cthulhu.
Well, Cthulhu's popular.
Yeah.
I actually have a role-playing game. It's called Cat-Thulu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cat-Thulu.
Yeah, Cat-Thulu.
Nice.
I've never played it. I just found the book humorous, so I got it.
Yes.
But, but Betrayal at House on the Hill is really cool. The only thing is, also another major difference is the fact that there's always somebody who's going to be the betrayer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just completely cooperative like Mansions of Madness is. Now, technically, Mansions of Madness...
That's a factor I kind of like about it, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Now, the thing is, with Mansions of Madness, like, if you take too much mental damage, you go insane. You don't die. Okay. Now, when you're insane, you get an insanity card, which tells you a different way to win the game.
Right.
Now, sometimes you might want the monster to win, or you might have to kill off a specific other player, or
nice.
You know, all sorts of crazy stuff.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
It is.
I assume you don't own it, though.
I don't. It's actually kind of hard to get a hold of sometimes. It sells out really quickly in most places.
Okay.
And, okay,
let's move right along to...
Okay, so now let's talk about games that we want to play. Something that we've not ever played, but we know about and we really want to play.
Right.
So we'll just keep the same format. Go, Cody.
Okay. I really want to play... There's this game called Guns and Cash.
Guns and Cash.
Yeah. There's this game called Guns and Cash, and I really would like to play it. Basically, how it works is everybody gets a little figurine. I don't think the little figurine thing's very important, but it represents your character. Everyone is part of this mob group type thing, working together to pull off a heist. But at a certain point, after you flip the cards to see what's in the heist that you're getting to do, everyone chooses either a bullet card or a blank card that they put down, face down, that no one else can see. And then you count to three, and everyone points, they come with foam guns, and everyone points their foam guns at somebody. And you have to decide if you are going to bow out, which means you don't get any of the loot, but you also don't get shot, or if you're going to stay in.
Hmm.
Now, one person is the mob boss or whatever, and that person gets a special ability each round. It goes around, like each round, it's a different person. That person gets the special ability. He can make one person not to switch who they're pointing their gun at. So, like, if everyone's pointing their gun at the mob boss, he can be like, Honey, point your gun at somewhere else. He can't tell him where, but he can tell him to point somewhere else.
Well, I'm gonna kill Nick.
So, say we were playing right here with the three of us. And I pointed my gun at Nick, and you pointed your gun at me, and Nick, you pointed your gun at me. But I'm the mob boss, so I told Nick to point his gun somewhere else. So he points it at Honey. Say then we count to three, and you have to yell something. I think Banzai is what I saw people yelling most of the time, but you have to yell something, count to three. And you can choose to bow out, which means you put your gun down, but you don't get any of the treasure. But you also don't possibly get shot. So say we did that. I was pointing my gun at Nick. He's pointing at you. You're pointing at me. You bowed out. So Nick doesn't get to do anything. But then I flip my card to show if I picked the bullet or if I picked the click. And if I picked the click, nothing happens. Me and Nick split up. the loot. You don't get anything because you bowed out. But if I pick the bullet, Nick gets shot, so I get all the loot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
makes
you get shot 3 times a game, and then you're dead.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Pretty sure if I got shot once, I'd probably die.
And then at the end of the at the end of the game, the person with the most loot wins.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So that's the game I want to play. What about you?
I'm a big survivalist, and one of the things that I've come across that I'm really intrigued to play is a game called Doom and Bloom Survival Game.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
No, it's not a huge thing. I think it was originally a Kickstarter game, but it was made by some people that are survivalists and everything like that, and they wanted to make a game for survivalists that didn't involve zombies or other random made-up things.
Right.
They were like, okay, you know, natural disasters happen, infectious diseases spread, this is a thing. So it's a post-apocalyptic game, but it's the aftermath of, I think, some sort of disease or infection that goes across, and you are a human that didn't die in it. So, hey, look at you. You're alive. You're trying to save your family and friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, bandits or raiders or something, I think they call them raiders, that are, you know, roaming around, obviously trying to get your stuff,
right,
and kill you probably. So you have to get gear and then figure out how to escape. There's tiles for, you know, safe havens and places you can go, but
so it's another tile game? Kind of like,
yeah,
that.
You have figures that you move around a board,
right,
and there's different cards and stuff. But it seems interesting.
Right.
I've only read a few reviews, and I mean, they don't have like 5 stars on any of the reviews. It's like, you know, 3.5, 4. So it's not a horrible game, I'm guessing.
Right.
But I don't really know how fun it is because I've not played it.
Okay.
But I'd really like to try it out. It looks actually pretty good. And I was like, online, I think I can get it for like $40. So it's not a super expensive game because there's ones out there that are like hundreds or more. And I'm like,
yeah.
That's a little too much for a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I want to try that out at some point because I really like survival aspects. And if it's made by a survivalist, intended more for a survivalist, then, you know, I think I would enjoy it. But all the reviews I've read have said, you know, it's like, oh yeah, it's a great game for a survivalist, but, you know, it's good for gamers too. So I was like, ah, cool.
Good,
you know, it'd be something to play.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Nick?
I want to play Secret Hitler.
Okay.
Because I really want to be Hitler.
That's a weird thing to say.
You might not just go around telling people you want to be Hitler.
Right. Well, the game is fun, though.
Oh, it is fun. I've played it.
I've never played it, but I've
never
seen
played
it.
Play it.
I'm the only one here that's played it.
Nick, explain a little bit about Secret Hitler.
All right. There's fascists and liberals, right?
In the world.
In the world.
Yes,
in
all
the world
over the place.
They have envelopes at the beginning of the game. I think there's like 4... Well,
depends
on
how
groups,
many people you're
playing
with.
Yeah. But I think, like, for a certain amount of group, you have, like, so many liberals in it.
Yeah, I think you
envelopes.
Have to have a minimum of, like, 4 or 5 people playing.
Yeah. And then another group is fascists. Fascists don't know who Hitler is, but Hitler is also a fascist because, of course. And the goal of the game is to get Hitler to be chancellor after 3 fascist cards have been played.
Right.
And I want to be Hitler.
Right.
It's a really fun game. There's a lot of twists and turns. Like, there's so many... Because the liberals obviously want to pass all the liberal laws so they can win.
Yeah.
Or kill Hitler. Because if you get so many fascist laws passed, you can choose... The person who is the chancellor at that point, right? Gets to choose to kill somebody. President, I think. Okay. Somebody gets to choose.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
Somebody gets to choose to kill somebody, and then that person's dead and out of the game. And if they were Hitler, the liberals win. But if they weren't Hitler, then who knows? And the fun part of it is that the fascists know who the fascists are. The fascists actually do know who Hitler is. It's Hitler doesn't know who the fascists are.
Yeah.
So they're working together. They're trying to get things done secretly get fascist laws passed.
Yeah, because each turn, everybody votes.
On the chancellor.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, we want this, or oh, yeah, we think this, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, because the president will nominate a chancellor,
mm-hmm.
and then you vote if you want that person to be chancellor or not, and then that chancellor gets to pass a law.
the president draws three cards and then gives two of those cards to the chancellor, and then the chancellor passes one of them as a law. And it can either be a fascist law or a liberal law.
Yep.
It's a fun game. It's an unfortunate name.
It's not unfortunate.
Yeah, we were going to buy it here for the office, but a certain person who's basically in charge of me says she doesn't want a Hitler game. so we're looking into stuff, but yeah.
So the Pinata doesn't want you to have the game?
Yes, yeah. The Pinata controls us all. And apparently Captain Roberto is female now. Because I said female, right?
Yeah, you said her.
Anyway, so that's that, yeah. It was a good game. What was the next thing we're going to talk about?
Okay. What? Hey, no, we already talked about the games we don't like.
No, we didn't.
We skipped it then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then what's a game that you dislike or hate?
Right. I do not like Monopoly.
Fair enough.
Because it always starts off organized and like everyone's going to play, and then it takes way too long, and someone eventually just ends up flipping the board and you quit, and the whole thing was pointless.
I'm hearing that someone's a communist.
No.
I hate capitalism.
I don't like it because I don't think I've ever played all the way through Monopoly without people just being like, this is boring, I give up.
I think I've only played a few times when people actually walked away.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just playing with the wrong people. But
I mean, I also haven't played Monopoly in like 10 or more years.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Now, I have played computer and video game versions of Monopoly. Those are better, in my opinion. But the actual
things
board
run
game
smoother
never goes well, for me, at least.
I have it upstairs. We can play it right now.
Hell no. What about you, honey?
I am not a fan of any of the Settlers of Catan, all the different Catan games that are out there. I'm not super big into the resource gathering games and trying to do whatever. It's just, they bore me.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a horrible game. I mean, it's a well-made game. And for people that like those type of games, that's cool. You know, you play them. I'm not going to. But Settlers of Catan has never really been anything I've enjoyed. I've only played it a couple times. And
I've never played it.
I don't know if you'd like it or not. You don't mind resource gathering stuff, do you?
Not so much, no.
You might be okay with it.
Yeah, Minecraft.
Minecraft's not quite the same thing. I mean, yes, it's resource gathering, but you're also not trying to beat somebody else
right.
in the game, so.
Okay.
Nick?
I hate Munchkins with a fiery passion.
I love Munchkins.
I hate Munchkins so much. It is just it's boring.
How's it boring? You get to screw
it's
your friends
boring.
Over.
It's just boring. There's too many rules. There's too much going on. Like, even with complex games, say like Dungeons and Dragons or something, you roll. That's it. But Munchkins, you have to know the rules of it, and I don't want to sit down and learn the rules for 30 minutes to play a game.
I've explained Munchkin to people in like 5 minutes. It's not a complicated game. It's
which Munchkins did you play?
I don't know. It was one where there was like races and classes.
That's all of them.
Yeah. What was the theme? Like superhero space.
I think it was all of them.
Yakuza.
Oh, he might have played the Blender. Like
the Blender.
Thing.
Oh, if you played the Blender right out the bat.
That's
no, you need to start with like one of the core games because.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're blending them all together, it's like, oh, you know, from the space set, it's like, well, I'm a feline, so I got my race, but then you choose something from another set, and then you get cards that are like, oh, well, I can't play this unless I have this, or a cheat card.
Yeah, Blender is not a good way to start.
Yeah, after you've played it a bunch and everybody knows what's going on, then you can blend it together and do all sorts of crazy stuff.
You want to start
but
with
also, if you mix
deck.
Them all together and you don't have the Blender deck, it's
mix.
A lot harder to mix it together, because the Blender deck gives you all sorts of things. It's like, you know, you can have as many races as you want, or you can have as many classes as you want,
right.
or you can cheat, and cheat, and cheat, and cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it is understandable. There's a lot of people that don't like Munchkin. I know a lot of people that say they don't like Munchkin because it ruins friendships.
It can. It really can.
But I don't think I've ever played with anyone that
was just like, oh, I'm never playing this again. I don't like getting screwed over, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the whole point of the game is, you know, fight monsters, get gold, screw your friends over.
Yep.
I mean, that's the point of the game.
Yep. Anyway.
But if you don't like it, that's your own prerogative.
Yeah,
okay.
It is my prerogative.
You shut your face. Okay, so last topic. What is the last game you played, Cody?
Ooh, the last game I played. What is today?
Today is Sunday?
Does that... No? Okay, D&D was the last game I played. Dungeons & Dragons, 5th edition.
Oh yeah, because we just started playing.
Started playing last Wednesday. So I think that was the last game I played. I am a warrior. I carry a great axe. It is a family heirloom.
I am a level 12 druid.
Level
no,
1.
He's a level 1. No, tell him about your character, though. It's great.
Right. I carry a great axe as a family heirloom.
Heirloom.
I am a noble, but my home burned down.
By a volcano!
By a volcano. So my parents are dead. And then what I want to do is I want to build up the new town that we're in,
yeah,
to be
righteous,
and because I'm basically Batman, kind of.
Yeah, his parents died.
Yeah,
lost his home.
I'm the heir to this great fortune that doesn't really super exist anymore. To be fair, I am lawful neutral. If I remember correctly,
yeah.
So I'm very much into the law of the land, getting things done the way they should,
and. He doesn't like to get dirty.
I don't like to get dirty. So every time we're like, oh, let's go into this cave, I'm like, I think I'll stay here.
And then we're like, but you like money.
I do.
And
like
there's
money
in there.
Specifically,
and oh, hey, look,
description.
There's goblins in there. And they're close to this town that we're in. And we don't want the goblins attacking here.
Yeah.
So I tend to convince Cody.
I didn't write my own character.
Yeah, actually, our characters that we're playing right
they're
now, we're going through a pre-made thing. It's the beginner's box for D&D 5th edition.
Because we were playing Pathfinder up until this.
Yeah. Okay, the last game I played would have been...
It's going to be D&D 2.
No.
Okay.
Because I was playing games on Friday night.
Okay.
It would have been... I think it was Warhammer 40K's new game, Shadow Wars Armageddon. Basically, you build a small kill team of people, and you're fighting in a hive world. So you have lots of terrain on the table to make it densely packed and everything, so you can't just have clear line of sight across tables very easily. But yeah, running around, shooting people, doing stuff, having fun. It's good. Lots of dice rolling. It's fun times.
Never played.
Never played either.
You guys don't really strike me as people that play a lot of miniatures games anyway.
I play D&D and Pathfinder.
Well, I guess that's true.
And that haunted house thing.
Trail at House on the Hill?
Thank you. That one. That has miniatures.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Really, really weird, ugly miniatures, but it has them.
Yeah. So, Nick, what was the last game you played?
Well, if that phone game doesn't count, does it count?
What phone? Oh, no.
Jackbox.
That,
Jackbox.
The Jackbox
nope.
thing, no.
Okay.
That's
so that doesn't
via
count.
Computer.
Then it would be Town of Salem at graduation because I didn't go to the D&D night because I was sick and didn't want
it. Fair enough.
Town of Salem,
which you've already spoken about.
I know, right?
Okay.
Crazy, right?
It's crazy.
It's like Town of Salem is one of the games I own.
Yeah.
One of
the only games he owns.
I have Scrabble and Monopoly, and that's about it. And Candyland. But nobody ever wants to play Candyland.
No.
Why won't you play Candyland with me, little boys?
I mean, I'm not five, so yeah, no, I generally don't play Candyland.
Yeah, that's board games.
Yeah.
And there's tons of other board games. Like,
oh,
just so many that we own that I want to... I still really want to play Risk Legacy. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Risk, though, is another one of those games that's really long.
It is. But
and
I'm
that one
that.
I've had numerous times playing through, and we get halfway through the game and people just quit.
Every time I've ever played that, it has been a several-day event. Like, we just leave it out, we stop playing for a little bit, we come back to it.
I also have a friend that I was playing against, and he got pissed and flipped the board game and sent pieces everywhere.
That would suck. There's so many pieces. So much to do with Risk.
I was like, ah, really? But no, if you want to talk about board games and not having played them, I for a few years had a slight addiction to backing things on Kickstarter. So I've got tons of board games that I've never played. I have two massive shelves that go floor to ceiling, covered in all sorts of different gaming material. Some of them are books, but a lot of it's board games and boxes filled with miniatures and other stuff. Cody knows, he sees it every week at my house.
You know, we've played a few of them before, like Exploding Kittens and stuff like that.
A few of them.
Yeah.
Some of the smaller ones that are easier to do.
Right.
But, like, I have the Conan board game that I really want to play.
Right.
Which has amazing miniatures, I just haven't ever played it.
Yeah.
And then I've also got... Actually, I think you guys would probably enjoy it. A game called Myth.
That sounds familiar.
I've probably shown you the stuff. But I have it in all its expansions, but I've yet to play it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I've got too many board games, so I need to play more. But, okay, well, that is our little board games floater episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you don't, I don't care. Cody probably does.
Yeah.
Cody cares.
I care.
And even though Cameron's not here, he cares too. Because he loves you. And I don't.
Now, if you know any board games you think we should play, go ahead and send it to us. Tweet us at NerdDumbPodcast on Twitter.
Yep,
or
on the Twitters.
If you want to talk to one of us individually, you can do that too. I'm at the Cody Weck.
And I am at Viking Honey. I don't know, Nick, do you tweets?
I think I'm like at that melon guy. I don't remember. That's weird.
Okay, so don't try to contact Nick. Or don't go look for other random people, because he could have just spouted off some kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
You're going to go talk to someone. They're going to be like, who are you? Why are you bothering me?
I am at the White House.
No.
No. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, go ahead and give us a like, 5 stars, whatever, on iTunes. Write a review. That's one way you can help our podcast continue to grow and continue to reach others. That's how the algorithms work on iTunes. Or you can.
And yeah, if you don't have Apple products at all, or you just don't use iTunes on your computer or whatever, you can find us on Podcast Addict.
Yep.
Well, you guys have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you later. Bye.
This has been a Nerd Dump production.